How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Thank you, wife, for bringing the show in. A lot of people don't know. That's Jen Chapman. Wade knows. That's the wife. Wade, how we doing today, man?
I never knew that was her.
Yeah, that's wifey. That's Chapman. I don't know.
I'm going to need her to do a soundbite. Welcome to the Wayne Breezy Show.
Oh, like, there we go. We're going to sit over. The funny thing is, like, she's done a couple of the Rush road trips.
Yeah.
People are like, I know that voice. And like, they'll be like, I know your, where have I heard that voice?
I know her voice. I never knew that was, I never knew.
Yeah, no. We ball in on a budget. The 49ers Rush did not have a budget for intros. So it was, hey, wifey, come talking to a mic. And the funny thing is, when she did it, that was like, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. She did like 30 takes. And I was like,
oh, that's so messed up. You made her do 30?
No, I was like, first one's perfect. She's like, no, I want to do it again. I was like, no, that one's perfect. Like, I don't even edit this show. Nobody cares. Like, and anyway, we went the first one anyway, but whatever. It is 49ers talk. It's Tuesday. Let's go. 49ers Rush Road Trip. The Wayne Breezy. We've been doing it Tuesdays. Is this like, I think this is year 4 or 5, Wayne.
Yeah,
the Wayne Breezy Show.
Four, I think.
The John Wayne Show.
I think it's year four for us, and I want to keep it going strong. We, you know, as long as the Niners are in the drama, and you know they stay playing subpar football, I believe this show could continue to go on. Like, you know,
they're in something. We are in the land of mediocrity. We are 5-5. That is not the place to be. And so we're going to talk a little bit of playoffs. We're going to talk a little NFC West. We're even going to talk a little bit of draft, not so much like draft prospects, but we're kind of tinkering in this in-between purgatory world of, I don't ever believe in tanking. I don't even care if you're 2-14 and you're going into the last game of the year. I believe you win always. But as fans and, you know, whatever the hell we are, content creators, whatever you want to call us, it's interesting to look forward and talk about the future, especially whenever the present is not what you want it to be. What's up, CSL? He says, where are the Niners faithful? Adversity reveals true character. If you're calling for Kyle to be fired, then you are failing at being the faithful. Wayne, agree or disagree?
I agree. Like, I don't know what the definition of faith is. I mean, apparently I don't. But faithful, there's a difference between faith and being faithful. I think at this point, we want to go out there and have an affair on Kyle Shanahan because things aren't working out right. And I just don't agree with that. You know, I don't think Kyle Shanahan is doing anything detrimental to hurt this team. Can he do some things differently? Can he make some changes? Absolutely. Will he? That's up to him. I know the fan base wants to see Kyle do this A, B, C, D, A through Z, right? They want a complete 360 change. They want to cut players, release players, play rookies, play players, whatever. Because nothing we're doing seems to be consistent and working. And I think people forget that, you know, at some point there was consistency. There were things that were able to work. Now there's a bunch of different factors. And I don't know if you heard the message from Bill Belichick, but I think he said it best. He said, just because you won one year, don't mean you're going to win the next. And I'm paraphrasing it, but it's different each year you go out there, you know, and, you know, the Niners just going through a lot. And I think the biggest adversity issue with the San Francisco 49ers is just finding a way to deal with these injuries, bro. And like injuries to key players, key positions
at the key
worst opportune times. So It'll come together. I think the Niners just need to find a way to catch a break, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but things, I know it looks hard.
Yeah,
I know the schedule's tough.
It is.
I know we got the second hardest schedule remaining on the season. But I still believe in this team, bro.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I would say what faithful means is you are loyal to the team through thick and thin, through Chip Kelly, through Tom Sula, through Dennis Erickson, through all those things that, like, you are a Niners fan. And, like, you know as well as I know, whenever we mount up losses and we're 5-5, viewers go down. I get it.
I understand. Yeah.
I get it. After the Super Bowl, dude, like, you don't want to talk to anybody.
It was a ghost town. Like, YouTube could have suspended me then. But they waited to the beginning of the season. Let me stop talking about YouTube. I got my monetization back too. So
did you?
Yeah, it came back this morning at like 7:50 a.m.
Hell yes.
Yes, go. Thank you, everybody. No thanks to YouTube.
One of us wins, we all win. And the best way that you can help now is go follow the Wayne Breezy. Go hit that subscribe button, support. That's what it's about. Look at JD over here. He says, hashtag CC. Then he goes with fire Kyle, fire Lynch, fire Sorensen, fire Steve Wilks, fire John Chapman, fire all of us. I freaking love it, man.
It's time. I'm not ready for that type of a change, though.
No.
I'm not ready for that. Because we never know what we're going to get. With Kyle Shanahan, we know what we got. We know his tendencies to not figure out ways to close out games with leads. Maybe we should stop leading.
We got to be up by 13, man, in the fourth, or else we ain't got a chance.
We got to be up by, I think, 30. and still win by three. But there's a lot, man. Can I be the first to say that I understand the faithful? And when I say faithful, I'm talking about us, the fan base, right? I understand where we all coming from. I understand that we're tired. I understand that we're frustrated. I understand, you know, we got to the Super Bowl twice under this coaching and general managing regime. But there's still a lot of things that are different, man. I don't think people realize we don't even got all the same coaches. We damn sure don't got the same players. Players are older. Players are slower. Players are different. Players are hurt. Like, it's just a lot. You know, watching film, being more into film this year, you know, I get in the overall grand scheme of things, John, that it's Kyle Shanahan's fault. Like, in the grand scheme of everything, it's his team, his house, he got to take, it's his fault, right?
Right.
When I sit and watch film and I just don't see execution from a play call that would have worked.
So many.
It's hard for me to say, well, it's the play calling, because it's not. Like, it's really the players not executing or understanding the concepts and the play calling. So then again, guess who that falls on? The coach. And so, like, I get it. But I don't know if I'm ready to move on from Kyle Shanahan, because we're just close. We're just not that close right now.
Not close right now. And I love Ed, man. Ed's always the best.
100%.
He says, guys, it's not over yet. It's not. Like, you just heard the Cowboys. And even though the 49ers are bad, at least we're not as bad as the Cowboys. That's great. That's solace for me. They're 3-7. Haven't fired their coach yet, and he's one of the worst coaches and has been for a long time. But they asked him, are you going to start playing young guys? He's like, no, we're 3-7. We can still make it. Like, the Niners at 5-5, because we're not used to this, are like, oh, the sky is falling. But, man, you pull up the rankings, you're a game out of first place.
It's ridiculous, bro.
In the NFC West. Like, you're in the – thankfully, you are in the worst top-heavy division.
Division. That said it best. That's hold up. That gets the bell. That's it. That's what it is.
Yeah. I was always like a sucker for like the stars and the stickers, like in kindergarten. I was like, yes, I got the over the moon sticker. Thank you, Miss Jackson.
Miss Jackson. Woo. No,
thank you.
For real.
There we go.
Hey.
I was at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles one time, and Andre 3000.
Downtown LA.
Yeah,
oh, that would have been cool. Do you know Andre 3000's real name?
I do not. Is it Wayne?
Wayne? I wish it was. He has two first names.
I don't know this.
Andre, former president of the United States.
We'll go with.
I think he was a president.
Hamilton wasn't. Let's go Lincoln. I don't know.
Nah,
I have no idea.
Maybe he wasn't a president, but he's on a bill. I can tell you that.
Who is it?
The $100 bill. Who's on the $100
Franklin.
Bill?
Franklin. Nah, he ain't no president.
Benjamin Franklin?
Yes.
Yeah, nah, but he's on the $100 bill. That's why I said maybe he's not a president. Like,
we have
had to double down.
Love it, man. Now, here's my question to you, Wayne, because I don't think it is over. You're one game out of kind of first place in the NFC West and hosting a playoff game. Now, it's long shot odds, no doubt about that. But, gosh, there's just a few things that need to get right. So let's start there. We're going to talk some draft talk, just kind of position overall, team building long term. But if you had to, let's pick one. I want you to kind of, this is a choose your journey, okay? Mm. And we're going to kind of direct it based on Wayne's choices. Who is most frustrating to you right now, the offense or the defense? We'll start there.
Most frustrating?
Yes.
It's tough.
Can't pick one. No. Oh, man. This ain't good. It's like choose your own adventure. Like, we're back in middle school. You remember those, like,
they're equally frustrating. That, to me, they are equal. You know what? Because I did this exercise with myself. And I was like, man, like, the offense needs help here. And then maybe it'll solve the problem, right? And then it might not even work. And then the defense is the same thing. It's like a couple of players just missing away from defense. Because think about it. I looked at our losses, John. I dived into the losses, and I understand the point differential, especially in the NFC West, right? 7 points total. 7 points. 7 points. 3-1-3. That's it. Play them numbers. If you guys into numbers, 3-1-3. Don't know what area code that represents, but 3-1-3. All right. So I was saying to myself, well, let me look at some of these other games. And then I went to the Minnesota game. Didn't lose by much. To the Chiefs game. Didn't lose by much. The issue is we did the same daggone things on how to lose those games. Defensively, they couldn't close out. We could blame the offense for that because the offense couldn't sustain a drive to seal the deal. My theory is whoever's on the football field last needs to get it done. If the offense gets the opportunity to go out there and get the game-winning drive, they need to get it done. If the defense gets the opportunity to go out there and seal the deal, then they need to seal the deal. Like and they're equally bad. And so I don't know where I would go. But I do know if we're not going to be in contention for the playoffs, this could be a good thing. Because then the San Francisco 49ers, I hope, would look to – again, address the offensive line, the trenches. I think football always starts and ends in the trenches. That is my thing. I don't give a fuck about a star player, skill player, any of that. And when I look at the weaknesses on this team, and the reason why I'm saying they're equally bad is because the offensive line and the defensive line aren't good. When it matters the most.
Thank you, no. The Casio G-Shock, thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. There's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The two biggest weaknesses on the team are in the trenches, and I think our draft capital and what we've spent recently reflects that. We didn't even draft a defensive lineman. We didn't even draft one.
For the first time.
We had nine picks. You didn't draft one defensive lineman.
For the first time. And this is when they needed a defensive lineman. They actually needed somebody that can cut me. But you know what, John? I bet. Do you think that the Niners go through PTSD? Like, I mean, you draft Drake Jackson, doesn't work. I'm curious. Like, I understand that the Niners are in the situation to where they can kind of get the player that fits the mold. But man, luckily, whoever was scouting Dominic Pooney, thank you. Whoever that was needs to scout the center, because I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Kyle Shanahan's offense starts with the center, period. That's where it starts. Because I remember when Kyle first got here, what did he do? He went and got Weston Richburg. That ain't work out. The year Debo and all these players had these crazy years, guess who the center was?
Alex Mack.
Oh, man, come on, smack me with the Mack, baby. You see what I'm saying? And then this motherfucker goes out and retires. What happens to the Niners? They take a dip. And so I'm like, all right. Then they need to go back. If they're going to run this wide zone situation, that's what they love to do. Then they need to find, I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Uh-oh.
They need to find a better version of Mike McGlinchey. They need to find that.
Because we got the same version. We don't have a better version.
I don't think we have the same version. I don't think so. No, I think McKivitz is still terrible in run blocking. He might be a little bit better in pass pro, but he's horrible in run blocking. He is not the same. He doesn't kick out the same. He doesn't get to the second level the same. And I wonder why running to the right doesn't work. And I never thought I would say I miss Mike McGlinchey. But damn it, we ran the ball. When we couldn't throw, we were able to run. I think part of that is the reason why the run game gets stagnant and Kyle just saying, Christian McCaffrey's back, I'm handing him the full workload. Like, I think those are things that Kyle has to figure out. So, offensive line would be what I look to address, and the defensive line. There's got to be a better edge rusher that you can get in the first round, second round, because you need Nick Bosa's getting older and worse. Yeah, I don't know. Nick Bosa ain't been the same since the sack year and defensive player of the year. He hasn't been the same. Debo hasn't been the same. Bosa hasn't been the same. These players are getting older.
We pay everybody after their contract year, which that's kind of the way the NFL works. And then the dip in production is huge. And that's kind of what it is. Shout out to Niner Cali Boy for the super chat. He says, "We're faithful to the 49ers, not Kyle Shanahan." That I'm with 100%. I love the arguments
that's a great take.
With what faithful means to everybody. It's different. It's different. But we're faithful then. We're faithful now. We're going to be faithful in the future. I'll tell you this. If you do move on from Kyle Shanahan, ask Eagles fans how they feel about Andy Reid and moving on from him and watching him win three Super Bowls on another team.
If that's what would happen. Hey, John, if we moved on from Kyle Shanahan and Ben Johnson gave us the middle finger, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Because I think that's what everybody wants, because they like the run concept from Ben Johnson.
Yeah, but he's a hell of a coordinator, but can he be a head coach?
That's my thing. And so, like, I mean, maybe his philosophy would be come here, bulk up the offense. They got a different offensive line. I don't think people realize that their offensive line is built for power runs. And so it's different.
And they use two backs. We refuse to.
And we refuse to use two backs.
Refuse to. I want to talk more about the backs here in a second. Bro Montana, appreciate the super chat. He says, Sorensen and Snyder need to be replaced. They need to put the team in position to play the 49ers hard-nosed physical football, drain the other teams first. 1,000% agree. Like, everybody's on, like, fire Kyle stuff. I'm like, man, let's at least get rid of the bad coordinators.
I think this is where you start. I think I'm ready to move on from Chris Kocurek, too. I don't think he can't coach the defensive line. And Chris Forrester's ass could go too. Like, at this point, to me, that's where I would start.
Man,
fire up there. No, I just think they need some fire up there. Like, I don't even hear Chris Kocurek. We didn't hear about Chris Kocurek cursing out people anymore. Like, everything is changed. Everything is different. Like, you know what I mean? And maybe he was good. Chris Kocurek took off once they drafted Nick Bosa. I mean, that's why I said Robert Saleh became a great defensive coordinator, because they drafted Nick Bosa. And DeMeco inherits Nick Bosa. And then Steve Wilks comes in and changes, I think, the philosophy. We're going to play on the back end. And we led the league in interceptions last year. Where are we at now?
Yeah, we're missing Wilks big time. 100% better coordinator than Sorensen. And Black Caesar, appreciate the super chat. He says, Saleh not coming back speaks volumes. This one I push back on a little bit, because he's from Green Bay area, that north, you know, Detroit area.
I never knew that.
And it's his best friend. Like his
best friend.
They were in each other's weddings. They've coached together for 20 plus years. They started coaching together. Like Robert Saleh and Shanahan are not friends. Shanahan doesn't have friends. Shanahan's not that guy. Matt LaFleur, best friends with the Saleh family. So I kept screaming from the mountaintops whenever he was fired, you're not getting Saleh. You're not getting Saleh. Well, who I do want, and I still want, even though he's been terrible as interim, is Jeff Ulbrich. I would love to have that dude as DC.
Again, you're changing the mindset, because I just don't think the mindset of Nick Sorensen says we want to be violent, but he doesn't even say that shit violently. No, you can't say the word violent and don't sound violent. If you're gonna be violent, like my point is it doesn't even sound believable. You know? Yeah. This is what John was saying. I like NY Niners. I like that.
I think I said the same thing. I didn't even see your comment, so I apologize. I was not stealing from you. I'm behind in the chat. He says, NY Niners, want to fire Shanahan? Go ask an Eagles fan if you could stay in the smell. I love it. How happy they are that Reed is gone. Yeah. Now, Eagles fans would say, well, we want a ring after he left, so maybe it was time or whatever else. That's rough right here, Niece. Appreciate the super chat. Imagine if we actually got to keep our coaching staff instead of change every offseason.
This is another Chiefs thing nobody's not been talking
able to
about.
Retain their have been able to retain their coach. Yeah, because they hired a failed head coach in Spagnuolo who flamed out with the Rams. He ain't trying to go nowhere. He's the highest paid defensive coordinator. Andy Reid, he ain't going anywhere except for a Waffle House. I want to be there with him whenever he does go. But like, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Our coaching staff, our head coach, he's staying. But Matt Nagy, their play caller, guess what? Failed, came back. We haven't had that yet. Maybe you get Mike McDaniel. You're not getting Mike McDaniel back.
Filthy's casuals comment.
Could we
see a change? I'll take his comments. It's toward the end. Can we see a change in like just letting Staley take over? Because I think Sorensen just needs time. He needs time to learn, understand. We still running stupid ass man coverage on third down.
Most crucial plays of the game consistently and costing us consistently. Consistently.
I had to make the gas face. I don't know if you remember that, but I had to make the gas face on that one because the man coverage on that in Minnesota, boom, costs us the game. Man coverage.
Andre Campbell, man. Nope. Stop doing it. Stop putting Jair Brown.
I'm gonna go every nice game. Team. Wait a minute.
Don't do it.
The man coverage in the St. Louis Rams game when they ain't had one throw over 25 yards, 55 yards, 2-2 Atwell. Whoever messed that up, that was miscommunication. But at the end of the day, it's still on the coordinator. I feel like Steve Wilks didn't have the miscommunicating in that backfield. He connected to that secondary. I wonder if that's why we're seeing a downgraded year from Jair Brown, because that was his guy. And I would love to see what Malik Mustafa would have done under Steve Wilks, but I know Steve Wilks is back in North Carolina chilling with rocking Jordans 24/7. But my point is, you know, like, we're not growing, and that's why we're not winning.
Yeah.
And so when you continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, it comes down to a coaching. Now, that's why I said in the grand scheme of things, it's Kyle Shanahan's fault. This is his team. He put everything together. You chose this coordinator. You chose that. I get it. That's the easy person to blame, though. We got to start looking a little bit deeper, like John just said. Let's look at these coordinators. Now, I understand Kyle is running the offense. So my thing for Kyle, if Kyle, bro, you 46, right? Listen, man, at this point in life, you can't do it all. Get a guy you know you can trust. Get a guy. Come in here. Let them change up. Let them be the creative mindset. You could still run your concepts and philosophy, but let them draw up some plays. The thing that's missing is the creativity, but I think that's because Kyle Shanahan doesn't trust his players.
Yeah. And again, right here, Black Seas, appreciate the super chat again. What's the point of having a genius head coach if he doesn't learn from his mistakes? Leadership and accountability have become our kryptonite. But that's the thing. Like, if you listen to the press conferences and all those things, like, he talks about, I've got to do better. Like, it's not like he doesn't take responsibility. I feel like he does take responsibility.
I feel the same way, but it's not in the way we want it, right? It's not how like he's – because he's not saying, you know, it's my fault. That's why.
But, like, right here, Phil, did I hear Kyle Shanahan admit he missed opportunities to win the game of the last drive? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Like, but he's not saying it's his fault.
It was his fault. He called the perfect play call, and Brock Purdy missed the throw.
Bro, but that's
– game's over.
But to word accountability means taking the fault.
Yeah.
Like that, I think that's the issue. But I don't have a problem.
Play was wide open. It was perfect play call.
You talk about the Debo?
Yeah, perfect. Perfect play call. Second
man,
down.
The first
drip,
thing I second
wide
and 11,
open across the middle.
First thing I said is Brock can't miss this throw.
He missed it.
He missed it bad.
And I'm not saying like we lost because of Brock, but like the thing is like
we lost that game. Brock couldn't seal the deal, bro. Like, and I'm not throwing Brock under the bus because he's the first person he says he's gotta be better. He's gotta make that. Like, you can have some bad throws, but the one – okay, and hear me out. They played two high safeties the whole game. The one time they put, what, eight people in the box, nine people in the box? You literally had one safety back there. I think Kyle was looking for – and that was after a timeout. So they showed the look twice. Kyle was like, yes! Ching. Like, Kyle was literally waiting for them to – make a mistake. Mac McDonald makes the mistake, and Brock just messed up. Like, that's what it was. Play action. You got your guy on the drift route right across the middle. I know people blaming Debo for it. I don't know why. Maybe he could have ran the route deeper. I don't know.
Debo got separation against man, which he never does. Like, what? That ain't on him.
I'm just saying we do that. We run. Then we have a first down. We make them use their last timeout. We run the ball. And game's over. But it's unfortunate. The issue is not getting into a situation like that. I think that's what the 49ers got to figure out. Don't let the game come down to that type of a situation.
You got to be up 13 points in the fourth quarter with this defensive coordinator, this defense. You're bottom three of the NFL in fourth quarter scoring. Your average offense is scoring. So it's not like, you want that to be higher. You know, if it's Kyle Shanahan, all these weapons, but everybody talks about the weapons. You know, we pay more for the defense. We have the second highest paid defense in the NFL. Like, we have the second highest paid defense in the NFL. And everybody's like, well, he doesn't have a good defense. Bullshit. Yes, he does. He just sucks at it. Now, is it as good as it has been? No. But to fall from first in fourth quarter scoring under Wilkes all of the season to 29th.
So we're second from last?
Third.
Third from last?
Yeah. I guess I can't count. Fourth, bottom five.
Wow.
And that's fourth quarter. So we're giving up over 9 points a fourth quarter. We have not held a team scoreless in the fourth quarter once this season. Not
I had a question for you. I was being lazy and I didn't feel like looking it up. What is the 49ers offense scoring in the fourth quarter? That's why I said this team is exactly identical. They start hot and they cool off both sides of the ball. Like, okay. So I feel like the Niners average 3 points every fourth quarter. Like,
oh no, we're past that.
Okay, good.
We are way past that. Scoring offense by quarter, fourth quarter scoring. The 49ers scoring 6.1 points per fourth quarter.
Where's
last
that have
a year? 7.8. So yeah, you've dropped.
We've dropped. Yeah.
But like you've dropped 5.5 points
on defense
without Wilkes.
No. I get it. The defense is the issue. But my point is if the Niners can't, and that's part of the philosophy of the Niners, right? They're usually leading. And so when they play, it's more conservative calling. They get into the red zone. If they don't get in, they kick a field goal. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Like that's part of the offense. But that might be something Kyle Shanahan may want to switch up. Like, and he's trying. Like, it's not like he's not trying. That play, the Debo that Brock missed, man, I'm not saying it would have been a touchdown, but it was definitely a first down. 100%. And there's concepts that the Niners literally just aren't running right. There was a play to where they had, you know, people were complaining that Brock Purdy can't call plays at the line of scrimmage, and they're saying that's the reason why we're losing because he can't call out his protections. Last time I checked, the quarterbacks didn't call out the protections in Kyle Shanahan's offense,
ever.
And we've been successful with it. So all of a sudden,
people that don't understand football that are getting in that argument. Every time I see somebody participating, it's like, oh, they don't understand.
Yeah. So then that means that they need to come and join your, you know, your Patreon.
Because, I know that's a terrible take on my part.
But my point is with that, there's concepts in there where there's hot routes to both sides. You can't have hot routes to both sides and not be able to execute, and they're wide open. But then when you got a person on the offensive line that doesn't communicate and they miss their assignment because the communication is lacking, there's a pressure in Brock's face. And now he's to throw the ball even hotter than hot. And instead of it being the wide open to where your receiver can go out and make a catch, talk about Juwan Jennings, and make a guy miss, which he still did. I don't know if you remember that play where he pushed and shoved Kobe Bryant out of bounds. I'm just like, man, if this team, why is this team not executing? That's my question. Those are my concerns.
It's like everybody takes a turn on screwing up a play. Brock holds the ball too long, which is a major thing.
But that's because his guys aren't creating the separation.
One guy was creating separation the whole entire game. That was Ricky Pearsall. Never looked his way. He had zero catches.
That's because the two times he did look his way, he didn't create the separation. It's weird, bro.
Everybody's taking turns. You had 3 out of 5 terrible offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean, even Trent Williams had bad blocking.
Penalty, didn't line up right.
That penalty wasn't on him.
Jennings. That was Juwan Jennings.
I was about to say, that was on Jennings.
Christian McCaffrey doesn't look like Christian McCaffrey. Like, he's great.
He missed two cuts. There was one cut he missed that, John, that junk was so tight, it looked like skinny jeans, bro. I don't know if he would have been able to even cut that. So he was really trying to follow his blockers, but his blockers didn't block. They didn't do their assignments on the block. The two people that were supposed to push over to the left didn't, which would allow one person to seal, which would have gave him the cut. It would have been a much more wide open. There was a small crevice. Small. It was small, bro. It was skinny jean tight. But listen, these are the issues that we're talking about. And I'm not saying that McCaffrey looks good. He's not supposed to. This motherfucker ain't had no camp. He ain't had nothing. But you got to play him or you don't. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe you ease back McCaffrey in and you just let Jordan Mason bang out.
That would be awesome because those two play, like, here's my thing. And shout out to Black Season. Again, appreciate the super chat. What happened to positionless football? Put Mason and CMC together. Don't have to run every first down. Still pound the rock late. Throw a screen. Doesn't take a genius. Mason dominated. He averaged like 8 yards per carry against Seattle just 2 months ago. He gets 2 plays this game, gets 12 yards combined, and then just stay on the sidelines. We can't run the ball without you, but just stay over there. Like, why can we not figure this out? Why? Why do you have to always put Debo in the backfield whenever everybody's kind of figured it out? Nobody's figured out Jordan Mason. The only time Jordan Mason hasn't had success was when he was injured. Is his vision great? No. But it works because it's downhill, physical, everything. Everybody's stopping the outside zone. They're stopping it.
Yes. And so now you got to get back to the inside power gap run, and that's not Christian McCaffrey. It never has been Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey was brought in for the outside zone. Now, I understand why Christian McCaffrey's on the field, so let's not understand why he's not on the field. Everybody knows.
Take him off.
And I know that. That's why I like this comment, but there's people that feel like he shouldn't be on the field, and that's not what I'm saying. But
why is Jalen Moore on the field as a tight end, too? Why is Eric Sauber?
Why do we have to even use
snaps?
Here's my thing. I understand that they were ass against two tight end sets. I get that. But where was our two tight ends?
We had Jalen Moore. He was our two tight ends.
No, no, no. Why is he the tight end? Because he's a blocker? So you already handicapped. There you go, bro. Like, where's Jake Tongas? At this point, I would have
four of them on the roster. We ain't using them.
But Brandon Willis is soft as a Twinkie filling. And
so why is he on the roster?
Because soft as a Twinkie. I don't know. No, I don't know. He might not be on the roster. He was cut, rostered, back. I don't know. My point is you had Jake Tongas. He was a veteran, and you should have brought him up or had him ready to go if you're going to run like two tight end sets out there, whether you're running 12 personnel or 22. We do run 22 personnel. You know who's out there in 22 personnel? Juice. Which I'm not mad, but the defense, no, you ain't doing nothing with Juice. He's going to run block and potentially go out for a check down.
And they weren't even covering him on check downs. They weren't
at this point, use the running backs, bro. My only concern with Mason, we still to this day don't know how severe that shoulder injury is.
Yeah. We only saw him two plays. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my only thing. We don't know how severe it is. Maybe Kyle's saving it because Kyle, and this is where the, what's the word? The egotistical, the narcissistic type of, this is where it comes in because Kyle believes that my players can execute the plays. And I think that's, we're starting to see the execution become poor and poor every time they go out there. Now, I think it was part scheme from Mac McDonald and his defense. They literally said, we're not getting beat like we got beat in week 8. This motherfucker traded linebackers and got another linebacker just to stop, to play cover, you know, whatever they was playing back there with the two safeties. Like that, that's what they did. That's what he did. He said, I'm not getting beat on the outside zone. Good luck. You beat me, you bust my ass the first time. You're not doing it again. And so the Niners needed to take advantage of the middle of the field. But then all of a sudden, right before game, who's missing? Like George Kittle. It's so many different things that makes Kyle Shanahan's offense tick. For me at this point, I think Kyle needs to just give the fans what the hell they want. Just play Jordan Mason. Sprinkle in a little Christian McCaffrey.
Just give him like 5 or 6 carries.
Just like play Jordan Mason. Start Jordan Mason. Do whatever. Let Jordan Mason go out there and set the tone. It can be Jordan different. Mason, it's okay. He was leading the league in rushing at one point.
Gosh. We just throwing him to the scrap heap, man. Like Andy in Toy Story. Just like, man, I don't want you no more. It's what it is. Now, I will say this. It was the first game the 49ers didn't go over 300 yards this
season. I know.
Against a terrible defense. So
because the defense came out to take away. When you're not getting the bang outside, even Jordan Mason's run was a toss that he had to crack back inside. Like, they literally were taking
the outside away.
They literally were taking it. And when you don't have your tone setter on the outside, just think about it. Usually George Kittle is out there. He's on the outside of the tackle. And when they're running, he'll either motion to one side if you're going to run it to the other side just to take people away so that there's clear lanes to run through. Like him not being out there was crucial, but they should have just went power. At that point, just go power. Make those linebackers, them soft-ass linebackers up the middle, Make them cats tackle. I know you're afraid of Leonard Williams, but you ain't running it to him. You're running up the middle.
Yep. That's what it is. Now, I will say this. If you are one of those diehard optimists and you're like, oh, the 49ers still winning the division, the odds right now over at my book, if you bet 10, you get $35 for the 49ers to win the NFC West. So if you're feeling optimistic, head over there. Here's how you do it.
You know football. You watch all the games, you know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit in MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, we got a couple super chats.
Hey,
shout out to my man, Monkey Boy. Appreciate you, bud. It's always lost on me how our defensive emphasis is to get to the quarterback, yet we do nothing to protect our own quarterback or make time for him with slow wide receivers to get open. And then you spend a first rounder on a fast wide receiver to get open horizontally, you don't use him. You don't even make him a primary read really on any place besides too early. But he was cooking out there. He had a lot of separation, but Wade talked about, you know, the two times you looked at him, he didn't. So, Wade, help me understand. We always talk about getting to the quarterback, yet we have one of the worst pass-blocking centers in the NFL. We have one of the worst pass-blocking guards in the NFL. We have one of the worst pass-blocking tackles in the NFL. 3 out of 5 of our guys are not good at pass-blocking. Help me understand.
I can't. And the reason why I can't help you understand is because it's always been this way. We act like we're seeing something new. This is not anything new. They were just as bad last season We just ran such a quick, efficient offense to where these, you know, issues didn't really stand out much. The issue is Brock is trying to dial up and go for an explosive play, get through these progressions, hold the ball a little bit longer. So now you're starting to see why pass pro is becoming an issue. I think the Niners need to get back to that quick throw game. But again, it depends on what the doggone defense is doing out there, man. If the defense got the middle of the field and they're not playing off, that quick throw game is not going to work. So you got to figure it out. Like, the Niners got to, number one, there's no rhythm. There's no rhythm when they come out there. And I think what Kyle is doing, I know a lot of people hate when we throw on first down. I'm at this point, if Brock was 7 for 7 before he threw whatever, right? He's got
to
get
play the drive turnover. Yeah, that was a killer.
He's got to get into a rhythm without forcing. So you saw a lot of quick throws. You saw 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, 3 yards, interception. Like, damn, Brock. So, like, it's a rhythm. The 49ers, Kyle Shanahan's offense is a rhythm-based offense. It's not as an explosive play. When I mean explosive, I mean get the ball, hike back, throw it all the way as far as you can down the field, unless there's man coverage and you know your guy's one-on-one and the safety's covering one side and it's one-on-one on the other. That's when Brock really does look to dial it up. But Brock's got to really, really start focusing on what are these defenses trying to do to me? Like, I got to take what the defense is giving me. And I don't think he's grasping that concept as well as we want him to this year. So Kyle's got to get back into the lab with Brock and be like, yo, bro, what are you seeing? Because this ain't it. And so this is not me saying I don't want to pay Brock. Brock's going to get the bag. My issue is Brock's got to progress quick, because the defenses have literally changed on him. Literally. And that's what they're supposed to do. They're doing the defenses are doing their job. Now Brock's got to go back and counter against the defenses.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to get back, and you know, we're not winning early. But without Kittle, without Ayuk, that's been a struggle. And it seems like as soon as one piece is missing, everything falls apart.
Can you go to PG's comment? Because I want you to explain about the creativity. So what is Kyle Shanahan's offense like as far as creativity? Are we talking trick plays? What are we talking about when we use the word creativity? I think that's what I'm asking.
So, like, here's the deal. You look at the Juwan Jennings, I think it was early, probably first quarter, just an awesome play where he's wide open on an in-breaker route, 15 yards in. It was absolutely perfectly drawn up play. We don't usually run it that way. Kyle's creativity isn't trick plays. I know, like, you look at the Super Bowl and the Juwan Jennings pass to CMC. That's what everybody wants to go to. Kyle's creativity is, look, these are our 10 staple plays. It's way more than that. We're going to tinker a route in one of these 10 plays that stops the cover three. Our tendency is, okay, we have dual in-breaker, whatever else. So we're going to run a dual in-breaker, and then we're going to do a play-action dual in-breaker, but it's an out-and-up instead of just a dual in-breaker. So Richard Sherman talked about this and why he chose the 49ers whenever his injury took place and whenever he re-signed with the team, because he believed Kyle Shanahan, it was so hard to prepare against him. Any defense that talks about playing the Niners knows you got to be on top of all the film, and as soon as you think you know what they're doing, Kyle gets you on the other side. Those plays happen early. They don't happen late.
But is the creativity gone?
I don't think so. The film doesn't say so.
And that's what I'm trying to get everybody to understand is execution.
It's execution.
It's execution. The creativity is there. Now, no, we ain't see not one trick play, because Kyle don't trust anybody out there on the offense at this moment. But
he does not.
We're not seeing any trick plays. I will say, I you know what I think the trick plays will come in? If, you know, the game was just like a bang-bang game and we just couldn't get nothing going offensively. The defense was doing their job getting the ball back offensive, and Kyle's like, you know what? We got one of these plays that they're just not going to be ready for. That is the trick play. But I feel like the creativity is there, and we're just not seeing it because it's not being executed properly.
Yeah. Hey, Black Seas, appreciate you. Go to buy a $60 million house and not have a fence. That is awesome.
Wait a minute. Do you need a fence on a $60 million though? Is that to keep everybody like got privacy? That's a good point. You know what? Make sure you get a fence. You get a $60 million house.
That is awesome. Right here, sticking with Black Caesar. How is Debo in the backfield as a decoy? Let's do it at least once. My favorite thing ever was the CMC and Debo in the backfield. You'd play action to one and then throw the flare to the other, and you're just stretching the linebackers. Yeah. We haven't done any of that. We talked on the show last week how I wanted to see that. Didn't see that really at all. I'm with you. Use them as a decoy. We struggle with that. Malik, appreciate the super chat. Shanahan is okay with just getting by in some parts of the game, especially offensive line. It's haunting us. Don't want to fire him, but we got to emphasize the line. When the 49ers showed up, when Kyle Shanahan showed up and John Lynch showed up, D-line. Now we're not even drafting it. Offensive line. Everybody wanted offensive line first, second, third rounds. We got a third round, and it was a gem, but we just didn't even touch the center. We didn't even touch tackle. We're fine with below average. Now, this is another thing. This is that Chris Forrester quote I played on yesterday's show where he's like, if we can just get offensive line play right at just average, then everything else is fine. It's a very offensive line friendly team scheme. But man, even in the most offensive line friendly scheme, Jake Brendel, Aaron Banks, Colton McKivitt, terrible. 3 out of 5. Terrible.
And I really think because they're so bad, like Trent is struggling too. Like, really. Because he's the one look on the film like what the F, bro? Like, you watch the all 22. Like, cause you'll see him look at Banks and Jalen Moore, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, but this is where I need, and I don't know if this is where I need Trent to be a captain. Like, if you see your players, it's not about overcompensating. This is about telling these motherfuckers, listen, do this. And I know Trent's a tackle. He's not a guard. But do this. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, he's going to have to really help the offensive line just get to average. You know? I think he's overcompensating out there, and he's getting beat a little bit. And I think he's also dealing with an injury. But, you know, he's out there trying to play. And you got to commend him for that. But at the end of the day, like, the offensive line just itself, minus Dominic Pooney and Trent Williams, like you said, looked very terrible. It just does not look good. And it's crazy because it's the same offensive line. You put the weakest link on the bench, and we're worse. Like, make it make sense. You put the weakest link on the bench. You know I love me some Spencer Burford. He made one bad move, in my opinion, in the Super Bowl, and you went out and you got a real guard. Because I still think he's a tackle.
It's frustrating, man. 49ers chat, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. The league caught up to Kyle's offense. I don't know about that. 49ers still second most yards in the NFL.
And see, this is where it doesn't make sense, everybody.
You're moving the ball. You're just not
scoring. We're just not scoring.
We're 2 for 3. We're 2 for 3 in the red zone.
But overall, we're not scoring in the red zone. You know what? Going back to not having Christian McCaffrey early in the season changed that red zone number big time. You went from first to damn near, 28th, 29th?
Yeah. But, the thing is, the whole NFL is running our scheme now.
Yeah.
I just pulled up total yards, okay? Mm-hmm. These are the NFL yard leaders, okay? 49ers, second or third, tied per game, whatever, okay? Falcons, they're running a similar scheme that we run. Bengals, 6, they're running McVay scheme. Packers, it's Shanahan scheme. Saints, that's Bobby Slowick, Shanahan scheme, that's number 8. Houston, number 11, that's our scheme. 12, Bucks, Liam Cohen, that's our scheme. So, 8 of the 12 top teams' yards are all McVay Shanahan scheme. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're just saying Kyle... But, Kyle's at the top of the list.
As far as what, though? As far as
yards, total yards? No.
This is not a – but I'm focusing on the red zone. Okay. You can move the ball all you want. If you don't get into the end zone, then them explosive plays don't mean diddly squat. So, now you get to the 9-yard line, you get to the 20-yard line, you get to the – if we get to the goal line, I'd say 3 yards, we scoring. But it's like five and back. Why? You get to the five-yard line, what happened? False start. Damn. Now we at the 10. Holding. Damn. Now we at the 15. Now it's first and 15, which is still first and goal. So we went from first and goal at the 5 to first and 15 at first and goal. That's a little bit tougher. So now defenses got to find a way to get in. It's little stuff like that. Then let's not talk about miscommunication, poor execution, and all that type of stuff. Now, I don't know why we're not getting some creative, like PCU's plays, but I think we're too far off. There was a play. All right, let's go back to – we know Brock scored. Get it.
That was all him. That was all him.
Got it. Loved it. But Brock would have scored on the one prior if the motherfucker didn't fall down. Like, you can't make this stuff
that
up.
That 10-yard line got him.
Bro, that dude slipped so quick. And I'm like, dang, that was a touchdown too. You want to talk about creativity? That was a creative play. It was a boot to the right. Guy wasn't open. Brock saw that. He did the – it would have been to Geno. What Geno did. It literally.
Did the same thing. Right here, Filthy Casual. Who's at the top in red zone efficiency? I saw your comment. I looked it up. Ravens are one, not us. Bengals are two. That's a Shanahan scheme. Bucks are three. That's a Shanahan scheme. Detroit Lions, 4. Panthers, 5. Bills, 6. Cardinals, 7. Saints, 8. That's a Shanahan scheme. So 3 out of 8.
So are you
but
saying...
there's so many. I'm not saying... I'm just saying so many teams run it. So
right,
many teams run it.
But my question is, why are they successful in the red zone is what you're asking?
No, just the question that started this conversation was they've caught up to Kyle's offense. Saying
no, a lot of teams are running it. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I get. OK, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's right. If everybody's pretty if all the dominant teams are using the same offense, they ain't catch up. They copied it and it's working. Oh. I think it's not working for us.
Yeah.
Because we're just not executing. Could be personnel, could be line, could be players. The scheme is there. And I only know that because I'm watching it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I wasn't watching it, then I would be listening to you, Johnny Dell. You guys are my guys.
And we remember everybody was like, well, the red zone, Christian McCaffrey, as soon as he comes back, it's going to be solved.
Nah, can't be.
Nah.
Because one, he's still not, he's got to get time to get back into a rhythm. And two, it's still the same mistakes.
Yeah. CMC doesn't stop Colton McKivitz from jumping off sides, then giving up a sack the next play. Colton McKivitz doesn't stop Banks from having multiple penalties in one game. Colton McKivitz doesn't stop Jake Brindle from going downfield on a pass play, holding every other freaking play and turning around and watching people get tackled. Christian McCaffrey ain't going to help with that. You got 3 out of 5 busted offensive linemen. That's just the facts.
I need us to pay a little bit more attention to the context of everything that happens. When the Niners get ready to score, the worst stuff happens to them.
Yeah.
Even on the play, even on the drive, the Brock Purdy run drive, I just told you on that drive, the Brock Purdy drive, when he rolled out, maybe he didn't throw it to somebody wide open, but he had a wide open lane. He slipped and fell. Like, you can't make up the final destination shit. Like, the worst stuff happens to the 49ers.
I'm trying to think. Is it Death Will Find a Way? What's the line from the Undertaker dude that was Candyman? He was the autopsy guy.
Oh, yeah. He passed away. Yeah.
And he had that line. He's like, Death Find. I don't remember what it is exactly, but yeah, I feel you. And right here, MNS, he says, Saubert was open on the first read in the red zone. I broke this play down. I put it out on Twitter. I put it out on Instagram.
Which play was this?
It's the one where he checked down to Debo at like the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
Saubert runs just across and wide open. And Purdy looks and says, I ain't throwing it to Eric Saubert in the red zone.
No.
And then checks down. Yeah. Just like Purdy went throw it to Jordan Mason on checkdowns. Yeah. Nope, that ain't CMC. No. I ain't throwing
as soon as CMC's first game, he had like 20 catches. I'm making up in the number, but a lot of the checkdowns. And then he didn't throw it to him in this game until the third quarter.
Yeah.
Use the checkdown, Brock.
It's there. It's there. And yeah, Val, George, he's expected to be back. He practiced once last week. They didn't want to push it. They were hoping they could beat a bad team. They couldn't without him. Now you got to win them all. You ain't got to win them all. You might be able to lose one, but it can't be. The two most important games, the Packers and the Cardinals. Those are the two most important games left on the schedule, in my opinion. even more important than the Rams. Rams are just a phony team. I don't count them. I'm going to say you got to win the Packers and you've got to win the Cardinals. Those are the two most important games. If you're going to lose any game, make it the Bills, which we're going to the Bills, and I'm excited about the Bills. And if you're coming out, man, y'all got to come say what's up. We're going to be out at the Rec Room Saturday, the 30th, November 30th, from 2 to 8 p.m. Actually, we're going to adjust that to 2 to 6. I don't want to conflict with other issues going on with the other 49ers people. So Rec Room. And then we got our tailgate all freaking day. It's going to be awesome before the game on the 1st of December. Unlimited drinks, all that stuff from 4 to 7:30 at 3880 Abbott Street. Come say what's up, man. Get your tickets, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And somebody asked a question. I want to make sure I highlight this one. Right here, J-Dog, appreciate you, man. John, what tailgate can I join for the Bears game? I tell you this, go to Instagram, go to The Niner Empire. That's where I would recommend. Check out, that's Joe Lenore. He's the leader of all the Niner Empire everywhere. He is the best. They throw a party in Blue Lot that is off the chain. Go there. You got to get your tickets before game day there. The Niner Empire on Instagram. Tell him we sent you. He is the freaking man. That's what we got there. So, Wayne, we're done with the show. We didn't even talk about the draft. We'd be picking 18 if the draft was today.
Yeah, man. Offensive line. Trenches. Trenches.
I didn't even ask a question. Mm-mm. He just says, O-line, O-line. I was going to say offensive line or defensive line, but trenches. You say O-line.
Yeah. If there's that center that's available,
jeez,
that can start year one, it would be a freaking godsend from heaven above with all the angels saying, I'm blessing you 49ers. Now don't mess this up. That's what we need. I can live with McKivitz. But it starts with the center.
Because I agree.
He's just he's a backup.
Yeah. And everybody I know is going to tell me, oh, well, you can get that guy the second round. Okay, that's cool. Creed Humphrey went the second round. It would have been awesome. Zach Frazier went the second round. Would have been awesome. Way more guys where they're like, oh, well, you can wait because you don't spend that on that resource. Mm-mm. Wrong. Mm-mm. Wrong. Mm-mm. We had a quality center. We'd be 7-3 right now.
Here's what I think. Y'all could say not a center at 18 all you want to. Y'all could say that all y'all want. If you see the one thing I know about Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, if their guy is there, they're going to go get him. Like, yeah, they don't care. The question is, we don't know their guy.
Kicker in the third, who gives a shit?
There we go. George Kittle, I believe, is back at practice today, Wednesday? Tuesday.
Yes.
Today. He should be back at practice, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's something that I heard.
In. Yeah, they expect them for Wednesday's their first official. They have to
report. That's what I meant. Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, Wayne, take us out of here, my friend.
Hey, man, listen. I know it's tough and it's rough and it's hard to hold on to that little mustard seed of faith that we're supposed to be holding on to. But listen, it ain't over until it's over, baby. The Niners still have opportunities. They just got to find a way to cash in. And I believe they're going to find a way to cash in. It starts this week right here. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow on the Wayne Breezy channel. John Chapman will be delivering the game plan. Next time, faithful, we out. Peace.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.